We're pleased to have our brother Lawrence Stone with us this morning from Quincy, Mass. And he's consented to speak for us today, and his subject being, What Are We Waiting For? Brother Stone.
Morning, brethren. First of all, I'd like to say that it is most enjoyable to be here this morning with you all. That sounds like Southern accent, with you all. But it comes natural because, as you know, I was born in Richmond. But be that as it may, it is wonderful to come back once in a while, and it's been a little while, to talk over some of the things that we all have in common. The Holy Scripture, something that we read day in and day out. Well, we know that it'll make us wise unto salvation. And that is what we are waiting for. I had to smile this morning when our brother Morris Wobbles got up and started his talk, and I couldn't quite believe my ears. Well, it seems that we read the same magazine. Well, the first remark that I had, I was going to ask you if I would be out of order if I said the world was in a mess. Well, so states a well-known magazine as our brother has brought out this morning. And he has given us a good answer, that the world is in a mess. And he also named all the trouble spots. Maybe he didn't cover them all, because there seems to be so many that it is hard to put your finger down on the map of the world today where there is not some trouble of some kind, whether it be war or otherwise. From the newspaper, just a little comment, and it says, the nations talk about what they lack. The nations talk about what they lack. America is talking about the lack of peace. Germany is talking about the lack of unity. France is talking about the lack of glory. Russia is talking about the lack of freedom. And India, as you well know, is talking about the lack of food. It seems that there is one of the greatest famines at this present time going on in the land of India. That millions of people are without food. And that is something very difficult for us to imagine. And I don't think we imagine it to the fullest extent when we sit down, as we did last night, and each day of our lives, and enjoy a good meal. And we stop to consider the fact that there are millions of people all over the world that would be thankful for just a crust of bread. Brethren, it brings us close to the Word of God, because these things were prophesied many years ago, that the conditions that exist today in this world of ours in which we live would come to pass before the return of Christ. So there is trouble all over the world, and we would say from a natural standpoint the world is in a mess. And that there would seem that there was no way out of this situation. But thanks be to God, we know that there is. That there will come a day when this situation that exists in the world today will be straightened out. For we know, according to God's word, that as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. And brethren, that is what we are waiting for. We are waiting for that time when God's glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him and keep his commandments. To a certain extent we do know. It has been revealed in the scriptures what God has in store for those who love him and keep his commandments, but with our limited mind, it is hard for us to realize the many things that he has promised to those that walk according to his ways. So although the world is in a dilemma, it seems that the leaders of the nations are in a fog, so to speak. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what is the answer to all this. For you've been reading the newspapers as well as I have, and you've been listening to the news, and you know as well as I do that the President of this United States is in a dilemma. He doesn't know just what the answer is. He is sending out peace feelers, so to speak, all over the world. A headline in the paper the other evening was that our peace envoys are fanning out all over the world, to this place and that place, trying to cope with the situation, trying to come up with some answer whereby the world can have peace. But brethren, we know that it cannot come until the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, until he establishes a kingdom here on this earth and takes his rightful place as king on the throne of David and rules from Jerusalem. So we must remember that although we look around us and see the condition that exists today, that God rules in the kingdoms of men and sets over them whomsoever he wills, even the basis of men, we're told from the book of Daniel. So as far as God is concerned, events are happening right on schedule and according to his will. So from God's standpoint, there is nothing wrong with the world as far as the conditions are concerned, because as we said before, these conditions were prophesied. These things, we are told from the prophets and the apostles, would happen. They were bound to happen because God knows the beginning from the end, and he knows his plan and purpose. Actually, this would seem to be the time, and I think you all will agree with me, that the time spoken of in the Holy Scriptures when there would be distress of nations with perplexity, the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. And brethren, men's hearts are failing them for fear, because with the armaments that the nations are building up today, the stockpiles of armaments that they have, it is frightening. It is frightening to the people of the world who do not know anything about God's plan, who are not interested except in themselves and what they can get out of this life. So brethren, the household of God, his sons and daughters, have been waiting for this situation to develop for many, many years. But more so, it seems, in this generation, as we have seen so many things happen that were prophesied in the scriptures of truth, written by men of old who were moved by the Holy Spirit. Paul, in Acts, tells us that he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. We are still waiting for that day. And I believe, and I think you will agree with me, that it is very near, that day is very near, that the Lord is at the door. In the chapter that was read in your hearing this morning, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what we are waiting for. In the 21st chapter of the book of Luke, beginning at the 25th verse, we read, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, brethren, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled, till all these things be accomplished. Brethren, when that generation started, we're not exactly sure. And there are different opinions as to how long a generation is. But nevertheless, I believe and I know for a fact, I would say, we could be sure, that we have seen this generation begin. Speaking of the fig tree and all the trees shooting forth, the state of Israel being brought into being in the year 1948. We've seen this happen in our lifetime. So we know that this generation has started. So we are told here that this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. So the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand, and we are waiting for it. Matthew also tells us that there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Now, during the past few years, we have had more earthquakes, it seems, and unusual weather all over the world. Places where they never had much rain, they've had a great amount of rain. They've had storms in places that they didn't seem to have storms before. And with all this unusual weather that has been taking place, all the earthquakes, the tornadoes, with all this, we know that there is unrest all over the world. So what a situation is presented to us in this, our present time. Brethren, I believe the times we are living in are the days spoken of in the scriptures just prior to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are told to redeem the time, for the days are evil. How often we sing, the days are quickly flying when Christ will come again. Brethren, the days fly so fast. It is really a situation that exists with us today. I'm sure each one of us realize how fast the time does fly, that we don't seem to have the time to do the things that we want to do, the more important things. How little time we seem to have after we go through a day to give to the Lord. How little time. And yet, He is the most important one. He is the one that wants first place in our lives. He is a jealous God, and rightly so. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Long hath the night of sorrow reigned, brethren, but the dawn shall bring us light. That hallowed morn shall chase away the sorrows of the night. Yes, the night has been long, almost 6,000 years now, and we are waiting for the dawn of a new day. The dawn of a new day. We find from 2 Samuel, few verses, the 23rd chapter, the first five verses. 2 Samuel 23, beginning at the first verse, it says, Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, The rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning. Picture this, brethren, in your minds, if it's possible. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. As the tender grass springing up out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation, David says, this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. So we find here that David was waiting for something. He was waiting for something that is described here as a morning without clouds, as a tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. We know how refreshing that picture is to us. How many times we have experienced that. So David was waiting for another day. Lord, we wait a time of blessing, resting on thy promise now. Hear our prayer, the throne addressing. Lord, how long? Why tarriest thou? Lord, our hope and consolation, bring thine Israel quick release. O refresh us with salvation. Be our strength, our joy, our peace. The world has just a few days ago supposedly celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. I say supposedly because I'm sure that we all agree that this time of year has been so commercialized that it's certainly taken away any right meaning that it might have had, the birth of Christ, because the average person doesn't sit down and realize what the birth of Christ meant to the world. Remember in Acts we read that he hath appointed a day when he is going to rule the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath raised from the dead. And he gave assurance unto all men through this act. No one knows the exact day when Christ was born. The important thing to us is that he was born, that he was born of Mary. This is very important to us. And Mary was told in this fashion, according to the Holy Scriptures. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Can we imagine, brethren, the thoughts that must have gone through Mary's mind all the time she waited for this wonderful event to take place? Imagine having an angel speak to any one of us and delivering an important message as the angel did to Mary. That was quite a thing to have happened to her, to anyone. So she must have given much thought to this all the time that she waited for this event to take place. We read from Luke that the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. What a peaceful scene we can imagine in our minds, that the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, what shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. How often that scripture has been repeated, year after year. How often it's been sung in the different carols. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Brethren, that's what we are waiting for. That's what the world is waiting for. The world does not know how to accomplish it. They do not know how to go about it. But thanks be to God, he has revealed these things unto us, his plan and purpose. And we are in a position whereby we know what to expect and when to expect it. In the book of Luke, the second chapter, we find that someone else was waiting for something. Beginning at the 25th verse, we read, it's the second chapter of Luke, and behold, There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling, rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through mine own soul also, thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel, Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we see here that Simeon was waiting for something, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And brethren, he said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Job was a man who was tried almost beyond what he could endure. And he asked the question, If a man die, shall he live again? And he also gives the answer, All the days of my appointed time will I wait. Will I wait till my change come? And he had faith that a change would come, no matter how long he had to wait. For he says later on, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job was a man tried, and he had the faith that no matter how long he had to wait, that there would come a time when in my flesh I shall see God, he says. Come, Lord, and tarry not, and bring the looked-for day. Drive past these years of waiting here, these ages of delay. Come, for creation groans, impatient of thy stay, worn out with these long years of ill, these ages of delay. We find that the psalmist tells us, Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day. Also he says, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We realize it takes much courage and faith on our part to keep walking or trying to walk that straight and narrow way. But brethren, much has been promised to him that overcometh and to him that endureth to the end. So much is promised to him that overcometh and him that endureth to the end. Not to them that fall by the wayside, but those that endureth to the end. So we might say it comes down to one or two things. Are we interested in a part in the kingdom of God? Or are we tired of waiting? Are we tired of waiting? Brethren, I'll ask the question again. Are we tired? Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says. He has something to say. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. That is something that we are waiting for. That is a situation that we are waiting for. And according to the prophet here, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. Can we imagine Can we imagine running and not be weary, walking and not fainting? That's a wonderful thing to look forward to, brethren. The Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Waiting takes patience. And we are reminded in the letter to the Hebrews, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Yahweh, give thy promised blessing to thy waiting Israel's seed. Woe and want are they possessing. Thou canst give them all they need. Though the night be long and dreary, darkness cannot hide from thee. Thou art he who, never weary, watchest where thy people be. Oh, that thou wouldst soon to Jacob thine enlivening spirit send. Of their unbelief and misery, make, O Lord, a speedy end. Lord Messiah, quick to Israel descend. What are we waiting for? A new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. A new order of things. Brethren, we have no continuing city. We seek one to come. We are strangers or sojourners in a strange land. And the conditions that exist around us today with men, this condition is anything but good. Even the prophet Micah reminds us as we read it. The good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. We see that happen quite often today. So they wrap it up. The prophet says, "Therefore will I look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." We have all the same experience, I would say, regarding our prayers to God. We pray to God sometimes, and we do not receive an answer right away. We wonder why, but God knows best. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Then perhaps later on, our prayer is answered, maybe in a different way. Maybe in a different way than we expected, but for the best. We might think that God does not hear, but he does. God hears. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He knows our needs. He knows what we're in need of. Daniel once prayed for 3 weeks, for 21 days, we're told. And we find that the angel was detained with the king of Persia. But he told Daniel when he came to him that he had heard his words. He heard him 3 weeks ago, but he was detained with the king of Persia. And he was now come for his words. So, brethren, we must never weary in prayer, but trust in God and wait. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. We desire to be among those who are found waiting and watching when our Lord returns. But brethren, we are mortal. We all realize that. We are erring creatures. God knows our frame, that we are but dust. And we are told the Lord knows them that are his. And he knows just who is watching and waiting for the return of his Son. He knows. And you know too. You can answer for yourself, and I can answer for myself, whether I am waiting and watching. Hark, 'tis the watchman's cry. Wake, brethren, wake. Jesus himself is nigh. Wake, Brethren, wake. Sleep is for sons of night. Ye are children of the light. Yours is the glory bright. Wake, brethren, wake. Call to each wakening band. Watch, brethren, watch. Clear as our Lord's command. Watch, brethren, watch. Be ye as men that wait, always at their master's gate, even though he tarry late. Watch, brethren, watch. Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 35th verse. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for his Lord, when he shall return from the wedding. And then he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. We are told to exhort one another so much the more as we see the day approaching, brethren, and we are certainly exhorted here. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. We also find from the Lamentations of Jeremiah, the Lord is good. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We see around us today much prosperity, and along with this prosperity, much evil and wickedness. People have so much spare time on their hands with working shorter hours, and they seek things to do that lead to wickedness. But the psalmist tells us, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So, brethren, if we are waiting and watching, we must stay awake. We cannot afford to sleep as do others. And all the while, we must make preparation to meet our Lord. And how are we going to do it? Through reading and studying the Holy Scriptures, which will make us wise unto salvation. Make sure our lamps are trimmed and burning. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Do we have trials? Certainly we do. Do we lose our patience and give up? Certainly we do not. Are we going to let anything come between ourselves and God? We find in Romans, the 8th chapter, the question is asked, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So nothing was going to separate Paul here from the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God. And brethren, let us work toward that end, that let nothing interfere with our salvation. In conclusion, we're exhorted from the book of James, the 5th chapter, verses 7 and 8. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient now, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth. draweth nigh.